Hello and broadcasting.
And it's on.
From the beautiful Central Coast.
Yeah, you know the intro's on.
It's the obviously, you can't Death hear it. Danger Radio
You're off
Show!
Way off elsewhere in a foreign land known as Florida.
Yo,
have you ran into Florida in Florida yet?
No. I have not had the privilege to see the 17-time WrestleMania guest musicians.
I know. Insane.
No, I've been off to never land, dog.
True. You work at the fucking Disneyland or some shit. Oh, what's up? What's that? Oh, as the intro winds down? Yo, do you hear our opening bullshit? That's right. I don't know how. It's been months. I don't know why we here, but fuck it. We're gonna do an episode anyway. Welcome to an episode of the Triple D Radio Show with your host, and boys, James and Edward. Ed, what happened to you? What's been good with you?
Hey everyone, I'm Edward. What's up, y'all?
You're picking up y'all living in the South. Where'd you move?
I'm in MF in Florida.
Yo, have you become the Florida man yet?
I'm not the Florida man yet. I still have a little bit of my sanity left.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure.
I'll see you in 4 years about that. Sorry, Deanne. Sorry, number one fan, Edward's mom coming in. This is okay. Let's be honest. How much can you share on the daily? How often has the wellness check calls been with you and number one fan Deanne?
Well, you know, sometimes it's.
Are you calling daily?
You know,
weekly. It's definitely not monthly. I doubt that.
No, not that's what I was hoping it could be. But
dude, your mom's gonna beef with you. She's gonna beef with you now.
So you know, sometimes it's every couple of days. Sometimes it's 2-3 times a week. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 days in a row.
Damn, that's crazy.
So that's yeah. I know it's like, but it's not like it's bad, but it's just she's in her defense, she's taken it a lot better than I expected.
Well, it's been 2 months now.
Yeah, for me, it's flying by. But I said that once. I'm like, man, this is back in February. I'm like, man, I can't believe almost 2 months have flown by. It's gone by so quick. And we're on video call and she gets a frown on it. She goes, well, I'm glad it's going by fast for you.
It's just an internal sluggish hell for back here.
I came here with the mentality of, okay, this is a college program, but I used air quotes right now, but let's be honest, guys, this is cheap labor. I'm here to work. So that's given me a metal advantage. And that might sound like I'm blowing smoke on my own ass over nothing. Trust me. There's some people here at this college program that if you, James, met them, you've been a hardworking blue collar man your whole life. If you met some of these college kids, you'd be like, wow, you come off as a very sheltered individual.
I was like, wow, you don't do shit. That's crazy.
One of my roommates, newer roommate, been here about 3 weeks, woke up one of our other roommates because there was a bug in their bathroom and he wanted him to kill it for him.
Dang. I would advise not establishing a personal relationship enough for someone that they feel comfortable to wake me up in the middle of the night to go kill a bug.
Oh, it wasn't that at all. They just they're very germophobic and just didn't want to do it. It was completely, and you know, what's funny, that roommate later on was like, yeah, I kind of didn't like that you did that. And they're just like, well, I don't regret doing it because that thing was gross. And it's like, okay, so that's how this is going to go.
Were you the guy? Were you?
Were
you woken up? Were you? It's like, hey, Ed, you don't give a fuck. Can you kill this bug for me? I'm scared. Terrified. I'm shaking in my boots.
I heard about this 3 days after the fact.
Oh, you were on. You were working. You were smashing birds.
I was smashing birds,
pounding the pavement, and you come back, and your roommate's like, hey, I dealt with this annoying thing. I swear, freaking Charleston over here woke me up in the middle of the night.
Charleston.
Woke me up in the middle of the night because there was a little bug in the bathroom and they got scared. scared. And what here's the thing.
And here's the thing. Charleston did not wake. Let's just say this roommate. This roommate's name is Jared.
Yeah, Jared. Charleston, yeah. Yo, Charleston waking up Jared.
Charleston did not just like wake up Jared by like shaking him. No, apparently he like grabbed his foot and tugged.
Whoa. Back the fuck up. No, that's not cool. I would not be stoked. I would be going like, I think that would give me enough grounds to go, yo, what the hell?
My roommate,
Whoa, that is a little too comfortable. I would make sure my roommate is not that comfortable with me. I'm like, you can just knock on the door. I will show the fuck up. Hell, my just text me. But don't go up and grab my big toe and giving me a little yank to wake me up. That's just not right. That's weird. And this person's a fucking germaphobe. What the hell at the same time? Sorry, I'm like baffled. That is too wacky.
Dude, you're baffled. They were baffled. I was baffled. My roommate, we'll just call him Roger, was like,
wait, is this all dudes or is there a chick there?
Yeah, no, there's four of us.
Oh, this is a boys out? Yeah.
It's a Eastern Disney sausage fest.
Hey, yo, dude, the Disney sausage fest? All right. Hey, what's up, bro?
My roommate, Roger, he was like, if someone did that to me, I would call them a fucking asshole to their face and go back to sleep. And I was like, I don't blame you.
Well, I wouldn't call them asshole, but I'd be definitely questioning them in various manners where it's like, please don't do that. Don't go up and grab my big toe.
That's been the wackiest thing to happen once, because once that guy moved in, because there was a synergy between Roger and Jared and me. We were kind of like, okay, we're chilling, you know, we're cool, we got a flow going on. This other guy comes in, and you know, it's just without giving too much, without like being too dramaty about it. Yeah, no, it's just because we're all pretty laid back guys. We're not like lazy slobs, but we're laid back guys.
Where's the thing? You're there to work, do some Disney shit. I don't know if you're trying to make an internal friendship over there where you just go like, Roger, Charleston, Jared, I feel it.
I feel it in my bones.
Yo, we will be friends for life. Like,
we just
like after me, just, after my 4 years of being here in service. For our main man, Mickey Mouse, I'm just saying,
I will tattoo your names
on my abscess scar right over here.
Hey man, you know how it goes. Every time me and Roger lock eyes, Hearts on Fire just starts playing in the background.
He's like, man, dude, do you just want to kick back and fucking talk about Pokemon emulators? Because I'm about to say it's like my main man, you know what's, Roger. Have you heard about Pokemon, like this one mod where you play as Team Rocket and you go steal other people's Pokemon? It's sick as hell.
But you know what's funny about that? He likes Pokemon. There's a Pikachu Charizard plush in our living room.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, my man's about the classics. I don't even know what generation they on.
And then meanwhile, Jared, he's an interesting one. I think I described him to you once. He's a libertarian theater kid.
Whoa. Actually, I don't think you have described this fool to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's be real. This is literally the second time of me actually talking to you. The other time was me calling you in the middle of me doing some fun.
Oh, yeah. It's like, he's like, yo, Ed, can you fly out in like April?
Hey, yo, can you fly out in April to play this like poser show? Because part of me's kind of because I'm like, I'm kind of down ish, but like one of my bandmates,
ish, you were gonna have me fly out for an ish.
Well, I'm sure we would have played it, but like, I'm just saying, there's part of me, I'm just like, but my downness level is like, you know what? Well, here's the thing, I'm a feeling if that show is full on booked, I'm gonna roll out. I'm curious to see the shenanigans of Cancer Christ. All right.
The way you were explaining it to me, it sounds like it won't be a boring show.
It won't be a boring show. Like, musically, it's some booty, and I could care less. But this band, Cancer Christ, they literally will have a tub filled with some red concoction. Sure, let's just say it's blood. Like, obviously, it's not. It's just red food. It's not. But they literally are giving children, like, baptisms. And then fucking, there's been times where homie has a legit flamethrower and he's walking around in the middle of the street shooting it. I'm just saying. Cancer Christ has been known to do some weird shit, which I'm like, you know what? musically they're trash, and like the and like the people that actually fuck with them, not a big fan. But you know what? They're in my town. I will check it out. Obviously, they're big guar heads too. So I think that's why they do the gimmick. They go hard.
I could tell even before you said the word flamethrower. Guar didn't have enough money for a flamethrower.
Well, I don't know. Guar had a lot of money for a lot of gimmicks. I'm just saying.
They did, but
I'm just saying. I think a lot of the production could pay for a flamethrower.
Actually, maybe Odorous should have brought one of those on stage once. That would have been sick.
Well, they're inside buildings. Like this dude, like will play in the, like a lot of time. Cancer Crest are playing outdoor stuff, and we'll be like, "All right, I have a flamethrower. Everyone, back up. I'm gonna shoot it right now."
Yeah, it's like we should have my flamethrower in this enclosed space.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. But there's also that other wacky band we played with, New God, which honestly, I wouldn't want to, but
I don't know if we explained. Like, yeah, I don't know if we explained them on the podcast, but listeners, just for reference, this was a band that showed up late to a show we played.
Yes,
held everyone up. They were supposed to go on last. Then they decided, well, actually, we're going to go on and play second. This is around
like we didn't even discuss this. Like they just started throwing their shit on. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, that's right. Because one of your bands finished, and I was going up because I'm like, okay, it's time for me to hook up. The New God shows up, and they're just setting up their shit. And I'm like, okay, they're probably just getting some stuff. Right, fine, I'll play around it. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're like hooking things up. And then you told me that. And then I found out a little later, it's because, oh yeah, so it was like me like 8:30 when they went on. Because apparently, audience, they were like, oh, yeah, we have to play this show now because we have to be in Oakland in a few hours to play a set at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, I got to play some rave. And I'm just like,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, I wasn't stoked on them. And I had to go fucking Venmo them the cash a day later or so. I'm just like, whatever.
Fuck that's true.
I'll be good. But I was like dealing with them. It was like, it was a bitch and a half. And I'm like, dude, I would never want to deal with this band.
Trust me. If you guys had to deal with it, you wouldn't feel like paying them either.
Yeah, no, for realsies. But I was a good Samaritan. I made sure they got their fucking money of the
sort. You were not a douchebag. Good job.
No, James. I'm not a douchebag. Like those fucking like heads, but they're also like fried out on acid. So, but
oh, yeah,
I'm feeling not like I'm not playing the show. And I suggested them like some other bands. One band that would actually be a quality-ish band that a lot of like local heads like. That's just some Lightning Bolt ripoff. Some random like, I don't know, some NoFX-y sounding band. And then this one band that's basically the local band of like San Luis Obispo. Let alone they fucking, I guess, put on some big shows, but they usually like, so this is like this band. And I doubt they're ever going to listen to this podcast unless they end up following me and finding out. But there's this shitty band called Suburban Dropout.
I know those guys. Yeah.
So if you understand the reference, there's some suppressed intention of the area.
Oh, no.
But I'm just saying, now, they have put on big shows. Let alone, they also book the better indie bands in the area. Because I have some homies, they do some other like my bandmates. I have some bandmates. They do some like indies. They do some indie shows, and they're in relation with that network of heads or so. And I've seen, I've been to a Vets Hall show. Supposedly, they did another Vets Hall show. I guess they were able to get like a decent amount of people, but they also had like sponsors, like local, you know, just local businesses sponsor their show.
Mm-hmm.
Like these local businesses gave them $2,000 to put on the show, the Vets Hall.
Holy shit.
They didn't put any of the sponsors on the flyer.
Oh, that's right. I think you told me about that when you called me. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been around the time where I was like, hey, you want to hear something baffling and some local band synergy right there?
No. Dude, that was so local, man.
No. You know what's even fucking funny? So there's like another local band, like in the indie bands. Definitely one of the more like prominent, just making moves. People are just fucking, well, like heads will roll out to their shit. Like people fuck with this band and shit. This band called like Couch Dog. They were like my homies, friggin' Ponch and Cameron, they went to like a Couch Dog show. I don't know if it was like a birthday, not like a show. So it was a birthday party. No one was really playing. But literally, it was like everyone that was there played in a fucking band. And you know what's fucking funny? When I was like, when I asked them about it, you know what it turned into? They were going like, yeah, it was supposed to be just a kickback and we just do that. And like, these are people we know. This just turned into a fucking networking fest. And supposedly the guitar player Couch Dog was just fucking getting annoyed. It's like, yo, we just want to have a kickback. Can you not talk about like, oh, hey, what's up, dude? I'm in this band. Hey, would you want to do a show together sometime? Oh, yeah, let's do this.
Oh, my God. That's ass, dude.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there like, dude, what the fuck? I'm like, dude, that I'm too old to fucking do that shit.
Oh, my God. I can't even, I'm trying to think of an equivalent, like an equivalent analogy, but I can't. That's just a uniquely terrible local situation.
Band, yeah, no, that's just a local band synergy and stuff, too.
They
were trying to poach my bandmate Ponch, and Ponch was like, yeah, no, you that it's talking to me, trying to ask to do a hardcore punk project, I don't think we're on the same vibes. I'm good. I'm busy enough with my, like, two other bands.
I can only imagine how hard they would have not been on you. You were there, right?
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
I'm not that dived into the like indie scene. Like, there's like this one dude that we like roast that's a promoter, and fucking that dude, like, I've literally kicked out at like a show because like friggin' the homies like Letdowns were playing, and that's like, you know, my bandmate Ponch or so. That's like his band yes. or so. I'm just kicking it, and it's like, dude just says what's up. He calls me about my Instagram handle, which I'm like, that's fucking weird. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude.
What's cool. up, Danger?
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, hey, are you a Dr. Dead Danger? I'm like, yeah. Dude, I want to come out and check you out sometime. Sure, dude.
It's like, yes.
I see what you're doing.
With my band, Dr. Death Danger.
Sure. I'm like, whatever, my guy. I'm like, cool, thanks. I don't know. No, it's been bad.
Hey, dude, that's not bad. That's a promising venture. Let's sell tickets for people to sit in on a live recording to our podcast.
Yeah, no. Unless we somehow blow the fuck up, I could say.
But I'm just saying, could you imagine charging like Seb, Dylan, and Oscar $5 to watch us talk? It'd be funny.
Nah, that would be fucking, that'd be fried. What's not?
That'd be robbery. We would owe them money.
Oh, God, yeah, I know, for realsies. But, you know, that's what I've just been up to in many things. You know, usually just playing shows. You're off being in Florida. All chilling shit.
Yeah, just doing that Disney shit. I can't talk about stuff too much, like in depth detail, because you know
you never know when someone from Disney.
No, like it actually is.
Damn, like you'll get fucked up.
No, well, nothing.
Yo,
like
Disney
that,
got some feds that are watching you.
No, it's not that Disney has feds. It's just that Disney's Disney, and you never know who's listening. So, they it's probably paranoia, but they instill that in you. Like, legitimately, about half of the orientation is a bunch of videos talking about how, yeah, don't create a conflict of interest for us. This is your puppy. Imagine if your puppy was, I don't know, they had some dude on talking about puppies.
And you're like, this is a weird-ass analogy. What the fuck am I here for?
It was something like, imagine this is your puppy.
Imagine if you care. Yeah, imagine if you care.
Imagine if you care for your puppy. You feed your puppy. But then someone comes along and starts feeding your puppy. And then they start trying to take away your puppy. That's not very fair to you or your puppy. Now, it was some weird bullshit like that.
Dude.
this dude going on for like three and an eighth minutes. About some puppy.
I would have been like, dude, damn homie, did you get your dog jacked, bro? Because it sounded like you got your dog jacked, bro.
And all of it was just an analogy to just work up to telling us, yeah, don't leak any of our secrets, protect the magic, and don't create a conflict of interest. What's an example of a conflict of interest? If you're working PhotoPass and you're a photographer in your spare time, don't advertise to the people your own photography service. Or if it's like, don't accept gifts, don't accept tips. Don't speak negatively on the company on your social media handles, that kind of thing.
Man, I still say fuck work. I would still accept a tip. I'm just saying, fuck yeah. I'd be like, What? You gave me a tip? Nah, you didn't. Pockets $20. Hell yeah. Glad. Yo, enjoy the rest of your day. Welcome to Disney World.
Hey, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. But hell yeah. All right. You know, let me get a little timestamp literature going. You know what? You would you say it's time to actually talk about what the fuck we're doing on this episode?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll break it down for you guys. So, me and James had a thought.
We had a thought, and by a thought, we fucking forgot. Let's be real. I'm not mincing words here. We forgot what the fuck we wanted to do last time. It's been two months. You don't even live near me. You're 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, so that's
I'm
true.
Just like, all right, whatever. Well, I don't know what the fuck we doing.
Well, so yeah, I was gonna try to word it a little more poetically to not make us look like a bunch of himbos, but yeah, we forgot what we said last episode, what we were gonna do. Now here's the thing. We remembered the CAR. Problem was we couldn't remember what we said, what the hell we were actually gonna do for an episode. So we thought it would be fun.
Oh, you know what's actually fucking funny? I listened to that CAR too. Here's my synopsis. It's not my thing, and I was bored as fuck listening to it. Simple as that. 6 out of 10.
How could I tell?
I don't know. I think it was just like African tribe music. It was like, you know what? Maybe it's fine. You watch these people interact, and you watch them. Maybe this is one of those time periods of like capturing a sound that is yet to be recorded. Maybe that's why it's in this fucking book of 1,001 like albums listened to before you die.
True, but that was also...
I would rather not listen to it.
True, but that was also the same thing with that Cuban bongo record, and I feel like we were a little more understanding of that in terms of, ooh, this is the first time this was captured.
Yeah, but then we hit it with another one. It's like, okay, we've been here before. I'm gonna be honest with myself. I'm here to I listen to it, and yeah, you know what? I throw it out in a restaurant. I think no one's gonna bat an eye.
When
I'm stuck focusing, listening to it while taking a hike, I'm going to get annoyed because I'm like getting bored.
So this is how I went listening to that record. I threw on the first two songs and I was like, yeah, that's all right. I'll cue up the other ones later. And then I forgot. And then I listened to Loveless.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah, no, but what did we actually, what are we reviewing today?
We are reviewing, to the best of our ability, AEW 2024's pay-per-view Revolution, which was marquee booked as Sting's last match, according to the Wikipedia
last match
page for this.
His retirement. Yeah. Yeah, we're like 4 or 5 days like removed from the actual show. I know, great reviewing, guys. Crazy.
But, it's not... This is not WrestleMania or Royal Rumble where we're with the boys and then we just get it out like the day after. But yeah, no, that was what they were billing it as. And according to the Wikipedia page for this pay-per-view, this pay-per-view received almost near universal acclaim.
You know, I'm going to say it. Spoiler, I think this fucking pay-per-view kicks some fucking ass.
This pay-per-view was fucking... the best.
No, you go. Sorry.
I was just going to say real quick. Yeah, this pay-per-view was the best pay-per-view that AEW did in a while. Like, we saw Full Gear live, and it was cool.
And, we had a great match with Swerve and Hangman, but the rest of the show was like, yeah, this is kind of chill. Yeah, we're kind of chill.
It felt like a throwaway WWF pay-per-view from 99.
It was there was like 2-3 good matches.
It's like, it was okay, you know. And it's like I like the MJF story. I didn't care for how people online thought they buried Jay White, but you know.
But that was our experience at Full Gear. We're here to talk about our experience, not at obviously we weren't live at Revolution, but watching Revolution. Yeah. Now I will tell you this: this took me like a half a day to get through this fucking pay per view. It was long. Not true. Yes. I had to wake up, I watched some matches, and I had to go to a dentist appointment, and I went and got my groceries done. And I went and did my and then I started my laundry. And I would take breaks to go check on my laundry. I gave myself a very heavy laundry day. But when I was done with this, when I was done with watching this pay-per-view, it was like 6. At like 6 in like early evening. And then I kind of just
rather start.
Technically, I started watching at like 8 in the 8 8 in the morning.
Oh my god.
It kind of took me a minute, but then I found out, oh wait, this show was kind of fucking long. Now it was really, really good. But I remember I was like, this took me a minute to get through. I'm not gonna lie.
It took you the same amount of time to get through that pay-per-view as it would have to watch a peak terrible WWE era 19-hour long WrestleMania.
Oh my fuck. Well, obviously I was doing shit in between. Now, I don't know if you had the privilege, the ability to just like, I'm going to just sit down and just watch this whole thing, maybe take a potty break.
Well, I wanted to, but I was preoccupied with some stuff. So
it took you like half the fucking day to watch it too, didn't it?
And plus, the site that you had linked originally, because I wasn't going to pay for it, the site you watched originally...
what are you talking about? We always pay for these.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else unrelated. I'm sorry. The wires crossed.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's crazy. Like,
sorry, man. That's my bad. We love you, TK. But related to what we were talking about, where I purchased...
You good over there? You sound like you fucking died over there for a second. Are you good?
No, it's just I'm just burping up my dinner. I ordered me one of those deep dish Meat Lovers Pizza Hut pizzas.
Okay,
it's not bad.
Totally off topic. Are you missing Mexican food yet?
Well, first off, we haven't even gotten on topic to be off it. But second, yes.
You know, it was actually funny. I had a sick California burrito, a barbacoa or birria. I don't know. I feel like it's more birria, but they call it barbacoa. I had a sick barbacoa California burrito earlier, you know, making sure I had like the good chips, salsa with some pico. And I'm like, man, I bet Ed's hating life not being able to eat shit like this.
There's like nothing out here. There's a couple Hispanic spots, but you got to remember, this is Florida. California is predominantly Mexican. We got Cubanos, we got Dominicans, we've got I've met a good number of Venezuelans and Puerto Ricans.
But can you grab sick lingua tacos?
I haven't found a look. Granted, I don't have a car here, so I'm reliant on Uber and buses. So I haven't had a chance to like explore, and I haven't like Googled around. There has to be somewhere out here, I'm sure, but I have not found it yet, and I'm muy triste.
Faux show. I just said I had that thought now, and I don't know when I was going to bring it up.
I miss tacos day.
You miss some tacos day.
Fuck, I miss Efren's.
You miss fucking Efren's. Damn. Now, Efren's is gas.
And that's a chain for us.
Well, that's like, they have like three restaurants. Would you count that as a chain if there was three restaurants in the local area?
I mean, it's more of a chain than it's not a chain. True. You know?
But yeah, no. But, Efren's, damn. I know. I'll be feeling that. I'm saying.
Oh, and you got to remember, too. I was door dashing in Santa Maria for the longest time.
Oh.
Ass loads of dope Mexican food out there, dog.
Man, but now you get better pay. But now you don't get sick Mexican food. How times have changed.
The consequences of life. I don't know.
Now, what were we?
Me and James thought, TLDR, me and James thought it'd be fun. Hey, to break us back into this podcast,
let's talk about this pay-per-view.
Talk about this pay-per-view. It'll be a quick, shorter episode. It'll warm our voices back up, and also because it'll give us some time to figure out what to do. But we missed you guys, so
we definitely missed you guys. And by guys, most likely Deanne. What's good?
Hey, mom. What's it going? Shout out to. I always keep forgetting to say this.
Sorry, no hot or not. Not when I'm going to be on the fucking phone. It's kind of hard. Yeah. Like, Ed's not here where I can like, all right, let me play this track that
Mr. Hotter Dodd sent
and mostly going like, fuck you guys, fuck you guys, fuck you guys. This song is sick. Check it out.
Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. Got a girlfriend now. Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
Meanwhile, his girlfriend in the background's like, hey guys, how's it going? And it's like, fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. Yeah.
But yeah, no. So
and I'm like, yeah.
this is a breather episode. It's an intermission episode, if you will.
All right.
We figure out what the hell to do next. Did you watch the pre-show?
Oh, dude. I definitely did not.
Fuck! I watched the pre-show. Here, hold on. Let me pull it.
You fucking actually did.
No, I totally watched the pay-per-view. Oh shit! You can't see me winking.
No, because you're 3,000 fucking miles away.
The 12-man tag team match, Bang Bang Scissor Game.
So you actually watched this? Wait, you're not fucking with me, right? Because I'm actually serious. I did not watch this.
No, I know you are. No, I didn't watch it.
Well, either way, let's just get to the actual show.
Yeah, let's get to the card.
Let's be honest. How did this damn show open up? What was the first match?
I mean, to be honest, this started off pretty hot. Christian Cage with the Patriarchy versus Daniel Garcia.
And his dancing pants.
Dude, those pants. So I don't have the best notes for these. Once again, I'm going to rely on James and your spontaneous color commentary to carry the show.
Okay.
So these are my notes. Well, Christian continues to be my favorite heel in wrestling, and Daniel Garcia proceeds to be, in my opinion, one of the best guys on AEW's roster, who should be utilized a little more. But it was a Christian match, you know, kind of slow-ish, but entertaining. Crowd was hot and really into Garcia, which was nice.
Yeah, I know. And it was like a sick match, too, because obviously it's like Christian just does things that we can all interact with and get the fuck down with. You know what's a crazy thought? I think, technically, at this moment, Daniel Garcia is still the PWG World Champion.
Dude, I looked that up because I wrote down Daniel Garcia proceeds to be underrated and underutilized. But I'm like, no, wait, that's not right. That can't be right, right? So I Googled him to see what storylines he'd been through. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean he's been PWG Champion since last May?
Well, there hasn't been a PWG show because, unfortunately, Super Dragon, I think his wife got some harsh medical issues.
Oh, and he's
been
right.
There's been no PWG shows. Maybe because there's like, oh, Ed's leaving. We'll do one when he gets back. How about fucking?
I was gonna say, coincidentally, weren't we there when he won that? Because he won it from Bandido.
Yes, I think it was. So yes, our PWG champion here, Daniel Garcia, having a sick match with Christian. But I'm gonna be honest with y'all, I kind of fell asleep like 3 minutes into the match.
It was the first match.
It was early in the morning. I'm tired. I'm waking up. All right. It was my day off. Well, I kind of just woke up. I started watching, but I woke up enough to get to the end where we saw Daddy Magic freaking fighting off Kill Switch off to the back. God. And then obviously, PWG World Champion Daniel Garcia losing the match after Shayna Wayne came in, distracted the ref, and then Nick Wayne came in with the Wayne's World, and then Christian hit him with the Kill Switch, and I was like, sick, crowd's on it.
The prodigy, Nick Wayne. I give this match 3 stars, but honestly, it's better than that. I think in hindsight, I'd say this match was at least 3.5 stars.
You give it 3.5? I say that. Yeah, fuck it. I was like, oh, should I be that guy? Like, no, I don't do 5 stars. I do 10. Nah, I'm too lazy right now. I'll say, you know, I will agree with that. 3.5.
You do the 5 stars. It's just there's one person that doesn't, because the person we took the 5-star thing from, he doesn't like.
Yeah. But either way, now, let's be honest. Let's get to the next match. This was the match
I was all fucking awake for. All respect in the world to Sting, but this was the match I was here for.
Yeah, so what was match number 2?
Eddie goddamn Kingston versus Brian Daniel Bryanson. Two of my absolute favorite wrestlers, who are two of the absolutely most different wrestlers. I was expecting great things from this one, and I'd say it delivered. You know, I don't know.
Bro, I was on the toilet, dude. I was like, I went and took a shit, and I was still watching it. That's how sick this match was. I'm not fucking with you either. I think I might have to run off to the dentist right before I could really finish this match. But you know, that's how I was. I'm like, God damn it, I need to get shit done. I need to go get groceries. I need to drop shit off. But when I get to the fucking space before I start dropping shit off, I'm finishing this fucking match. And you know what? They beat the fuck out of each other. And I loved it.
Yeah, I wrote here. My immediate next sentence. Expecting great things. They delivered. Bro, they beat the shit out of each other.
It was great. It was beautiful. Now, true. Maybe I heard a complaint that maybe Brian took most of the match, but I love Eddie selling. It almost seems
like... Dude. I was so impressed with Kingston in this. Like, I love him, but I'm saying
he's great at beating the shit out of people, but he's also great at taking a beating.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing I made note of in my notes. I said props and all the props in the universe to Daniel Bryan, who was so vicious, who was so sadistic and brutal. He and so awesome. He made Eddie Kingston come off like a babyface in peril.
Well, it's fucking, Bryan Danielson's kind of a badass wrestler.
Bryan Danielson was beating him so hard that Eddie Kingston came off like a sympathetic baby. He's already sympathetic.
I also love the story of the match, too, where it goes like, Bryan's like, oh, I can't handle taking chops by this man. So I'm going to beat up his fucking hand. I'm going to work that shit. That. And it's just then Eddie's like using his left hand with the fucking back and forth slaps as a fucking fiery comeback.
Dude, that was my favorite moment in this match. My favorite moment was the part at the end where like Kingston had like the one good arm and they're just so sloppily just striking.
Yeah.
They're not even that. At points, they're just flailing at each other. Oh my God, it was great. Listen, if I'm going to nitpick, I did find it a little where he was doing so good at selling the arm, but then when it came time to try for the power bombs every time, then his injured arm worked like everything was just
fine. Just his hand. He can't fucking chop the shit out of him, but he could still grab his wrist and lift him up. It's not as like abdominal strength went to hell. But hey, dude, my favorite, I fucking love, Brian was about to hit the Busaiko knee. He's running at him. And then like Eddie hits him with the world's laziest lariat to fucking destroy him.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah, and Brian sold it like he just got pistol whipped.
Yeah. It was beautiful. This match was art.
Match of the night.
It's hard to say, but you know what? I would give this a 4.5, 4.75 stars. It's there. This match is awesome.
You know what? Yeah. I was just going to say, I gave it a 4.25. You know what? This is a 4.5.
Let's be real. Come on. I want an ugly fight. And you know who could bring an ugly fight? Eddie Kingston. You know who else could bring an ugly fight? Bryan Danielson.
And he's so vicious, too. That's what I loved about... I mean, listen, he always is, okay? But Bryan just came... Eddie Kingston made Bryan look like a monster.
Oh,
it was great.
No, the best... You know, the story of this match. If Eddie wins, Bryan had to shake his hand. And so the aftermatch, there's just that look of just Eddie looking at him. I was like, you gotta shake my hand. And you just see Bryan Danielson just so furious. It's like, I have to shake this man's hand. It was almost like a meme-worthy picture. It's like, I feel like I've had this Eddie. I've had Eddie's face before where I'm looking at someone that's like, yeah, I'm right. Come on. Hey, up.
Man, casually thinks back to all those burrito bets with good friend Dylon.
That's right. Burrito bet. It's time. Time for me to cash in. Oh, you're not stoked? Yeah. Oh, well. I think there was one time as fuck where he's like, I'll pay for your meal. I'm like, do you want me to just get grill them all? You want to pay for my grill them all? Or do you just want to pay for another restaurant? You know what? I'll just pay for another restaurant. We go to this restaurant. You remember that Vietnamese spot down in like that late night Vietnamese fusion spot? Just like not.
Oh, yeah.
I went in there. I got noodles with like chicken and shrimp and a fried egg. And I also got wings and a Thai tea. All on Dylan's bill. All on Dylan's wallet. It was great.
You're a goddamn monster.
I'm just saying. I'm going to go hard if I don't have to pay.
Oh, trust me. I know.
No, I do.
But yeah, that match was great. That's one of like two or three matches on the show I'm like, please go out of your way to watch.
Definitely. So, what was the next match? My memory's a little hazy here.
Oh man, talk about a dip, not in quality, but just in everything. The All-Star Scramble match where the winner gets
out. Oh my God, this fucking match. I swear to God. So originally,
I didn't get much on this. So if you have a lot to say, please have a lot to say.
So here's the history. This match was supposed to be Meat Madness. where we were supposed to have Keith Lee, Miro, Wardlow, Hobbs. I'm trying to remember all the beefy men. Lance Archer. And I'm forgetting the sixth one that was actually in the match.
Were they going to have... Oh, I can look it up. Oh, wait. Wardlow?
No, I said Wardlow. I felt like... So, Wardlow,
Hobbs. No, you probably did.
Wardlow, Hobbs, Lance Archer. Who was the other fucking... Brian Cage. Yeah.
Brian Cage.
And then, like, also have Keith Lee and Miro. But unfortunately, Miro's injured, and Keith Lee just went and got double knee surgery. So they decided to also add in Chris Jericho, Hook. Oh, God. I'm trying to remember Martin's name. Oh, God. What was his first name?
Dante.
Dante, not Darius. Dante Martin. And then Magnus. I think that was it. Just yes, this Magnus. Random luchador from CMLL. Now, this match was, it's weird. This match was at times pretty good. And at times I'm like, this is an awkward, horrible mess I'm watching.
I mean, Chris Jericho's in the match.
Let's be real. I'm like, when the big beefy men were honestly beating the shit out of each other, it was awesome. But when the little dudes started trying to do high spots, it was weird. And you had people standing around. But then at times it's like, that was awesome. I'm entertained. And at times I'm like, but then like maybe like a minute later, I'm like, this is just so weird and I'm so bad. This is match is just like, it's contradicting.
The match felt like, you ever hear people like review a movie and they talk about how like, yeah, this movie just felt like it was very like, it was uncertain in its story or it had like an identity crisis.
I can tell you this match was uncertain in its story and it had an identity crisis. Sorry, listeners. Someone interrupted the recording. All right, Ed. So we were talking about this match had an identity crisis and I was laughing. Ha ha ha. You're not wrong. This match was just so weird and awkward, but at times it'd be awesome. Yeah. But at times it was kind of fucking bad. And I was like,
Yeah, because
not bad,
because...
like fucking bad. I'm like, oh my like, God.
Did a so
I'm like pulling my collar, just going.
So really quick, did the audio recording get my comparison about identity crisis?
You know what? Just hit it anyway. It's not like we mince and repeat words on the regular. What are we professionals?
True. So you know what this match reminded me of? It's like, you ever hear people like review a movie and they're just like, yeah, this film just felt like it had like a very like inconsistent story or like identity crisis. It didn't know what it wanted to be. You know, it had like uncertain demographics or intentions or whatever. That's what this match felt like. Like on one hand, it wanted to be big, meaty men meeting it up. But then on the other hand, fucking Magnus is in the match, which I don't know if you've seen Magnus wrestle a match. I have. He's cool and all, but like, why is he in there?
I don't know. I don't even
Powerhouse
know.
Powerhouse Hobbs.
Honestly, this match would have
Archer.
Honestly, this match would have just been better with just the big meaty men. But then when like they try, when the little men try to do like a meat man spot, it was just like, get the fuck out of here. Just get back into this. Now, when Hook was like throwing dudes around, I was like, all right. Hell yeah. Let's get some Hook. I'll fuck with Hook. But then when Wardlow won, it was like, well, it's not like the show's been around with Wardlow gonna get a fucking title match. So
this
big
is my
shocker. Ah.
These were some of the only notes that I took that are worth saying out loud. Needed more Hook, should have been Hobbs. I know the storyline with Wardlow a little bit, but bro, just give Hobbs more belts, bro.
Come on. Give Hobbs something. Hobbs is so sick.
He will lead. He has all the potential to lead this to champion this company.
I would just say. Now, unfortunately, you know, this company might be loaded with like too much talent. It's unfortunate.
Well, yeah, especially considering who's all elite now.
Yeah, no, for fucking real. All right.
I almost thought for a second he was going to WWE. Oh, actually, speaking of which, not related to this, the Hardys contracts are apparently up. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that. I don't know if it's like new today or something, but I didn't hear about it on today's news cycle.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Anyway, I just gave the match a 3. I mean, it really wasn't a bad match. But
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Okay.
I'm going to say it. I'm like, you know what? At times entertaining, but at times really fucking bad and awkward. I'm just like, what is this match?
Now, please tell me, what was the next match? Unless you still need unless you got
some. Okay, so fun fact. So I didn't know the full card going in, I admit, but I knew like maybe half the matches. I had no idea this next match was on the card. Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy
for the International
Championship.
Well, I knew about this match because since this match was booked like a month in advance, and by booked a month, it literally was just like Roderick Strong's like, I am going to face the international title at Revolution a month ago. I don't know if Orange will be there, but I will face whoever for that title. So this match has been booked for a minute. Now let me coming off from fucking that match, the last match, that 8-man scramble.
Yeah,
I fucking love this match.
This match is really
good. I'm gonna be honest. I haven't watched too much Roddy Strong. Just be real.
Not since.
And even NXT, he was a different guy. But man, this guy's got backbreakers on backbreakers, and him chopping the shit out of Orange, it was a backbreaker, then a chop, then a backbreaker, and then Orange was able to do a sick foot counter, and then more chops and backbreakers. I fucking love this match.
He kept doing backbreakers like how Thomas does that one move when he's HBK in a WWE game where he jumps at you and then does like the punches when he takes you down. You know,
dude, like HBK's jumping forearm.
Jumping forearm, yeah. That was Roderick Strong, except replace that with backbreakers.
I would just say, I fucking love this match. And obviously the psychology of like, yeah, you know, Orange might be a little sore. But hey, let's have him face the messiah of the backbreaker, Roderick Strong. Adam!
You know something? I wrote here, this is a good match, but at the same time, like, I mean, come on. Roderick Strong is, like, without a doubt, like, as solid as a wrestler as you can get. And I've never seen Orange Cassidy have a bad match. I haven't watched every Orange Cassidy matches, but I've seen, like, 30 for sure.
So let me say this. I think it's safe to say these two dudes might put on a good match. And you know what? I said, I fucking love this match. I love just the psychology. I just love how Roddy working Orange over. I just loved it. I'm just going to say it. I don't know if it's a 4.5. I'll give it a 4.25. In reality, it's maybe just a 4-star match, but I loved it. 4.25 for me. I'm just saying. I was enticed. I was stoked on this match. And there's backbreakers on backbreakers. Oh my God. I remember that fucking gut wrench suplex on the top rope of him just.
That was so sick.
And I was like, oh my God. I think Roddy might be a unit too. He fucking lifted, unless Orange is just like the weight of a fucking cardboard box. I think Roderick Strong might be a little bit of a unit. Let's be real.
To be fair, considering all the athletic shit that like Orange can do on his own, but also considering like how people have just thrown that guy around, he might actually be that light. That or he just has really good control of his natural aerodynamics.
So, what are your comments on this match?
Well, I bounced back and forth with this one. I was thinking like maybe it's a 3.75, maybe it's a 4. This isn't a knock on it, but I was very surprised that AEW's Beacon of Light, Freshly Squeezed, lost this match. I mean, good for Roderick Strong, but I was like, damn, Orange Cass lost. That's a bit of a bummer. But no, I don't have much to add. It just because, like, I just think it was solid. I just think it was well worked. Good story, good wrestling. I'm going to keep it at a 4.
Okay.
This is one of the very good matches. I don't know if it's one of the ones where I'm like, oh, y'all should actually go absolutely out of your way to go see it.
I'm going to say, if you want some chops and you want some backbreakers and you like a good Orange match, you won't be disappointed.
This is one of those wrestling matches where it's like, it's a very particular flavor, but if it's your flavor, you're going to want to it up for days. This match made me realize, damn, I didn't know I actually kind of dig the backbreaker.
I don't know. Or just, you know, Roderick Strong's just really good at hitting sick backbreakers.
All right. Next, we have Blackpool Combat Club versus FTR. And I wrote here, I said, damn, and this is the first time Blackpool Combat Club has ever won a match. No, not really. I was
shocked they won the match, too. Honestly, I thought FTR was going to win, but when they won, I was like, that's sick. And you know what?
Yeah, because
I think they had a good fight. Let's just be real.
I always used to complain to James. I'm like, damn, Blackpool Combat Club's so sick, but they never win. But here's the thing. Like, specifically, it was Gian Maxlett and Claudio Castagnoli taking on FTR. And just like, this is just another one where they just beat the crap out of each other. It wasn't like Danielson Kingston beating the crap out of each other. There was plenty of times where they were just, you know, quote unquote, doing moves on each other.
And that's the thing. And then FTR has good like tag team synergy where like there's just like a lot of moving parts are going on that's playing into what's like trying to prevent either countering or all that. Bringing in some good tag team synergy drama. And you know what? I thought this, and like, you know what? When I was like, by the end, I was like, damn, that was a pretty good match. Now, was this one would say it's like, oh, you should go out of way of your watch? It's kind of a more chill match. Like, you wouldn't be disappointed. Honestly, it could be a 4-star match, but if I was to rate it, 3.75.
I gave it a 4, and I'll stick with it. I will say, though, I loved how, as each year passes by, I love how John Moxley, literally anytime he just did anything or got in the ring, he just looks more and more like a lumbering Cro-Magnon. I mean, he already was, right? But I'm just saying, sooner or later, he's going to... If he put on like an orange smock with like black dots, I would think to myself, holy shit, is that Fred Flintstone? I don't know if
you want a very bleedy, like likes to beat the shit out of people, Fred Flintstone, but sure, he's a family man.
I'm constantly impressed, by the way, because I made note of this in my notes. I'm constantly impressed by how Claudio has looked the exact same for the last 20 years.
Yep.
So next was Timeless Tony Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo.
Okay, I'm going to be honest here. I think this is another match I fell asleep halfway through.
You sexist bastard.
Sure, I'm sexist or I get bored.
Man. I was just saying, the women on AEW have to fight for TV time.
Okay, let's be honest. Yeah, they do have to fight for TV time. But the women's division is so wacky. And you know what? We used to bitch about Britt Baker, but where the fuck is she?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because, you know,
man, I don't know. No one knows where Britt Baker is. And I hope that God is not cocaine Tony Khan going like, oh, sorry, I got to wait for like Jamie Hayter to come back, which I'm like, yeah, where the fuck's Jamie Hayter? Bring her back. I hope she, well, obviously she like left because she was injured.
TK Slider sliding into the inaction of bringing back Britt Baker because he needs the AEW Women's Division Goku and Vegeta.
I'm just saying, like, where's Jamie Hayter? Fuck, I hear Riho's like back, and I heard like that was awesome. But why are we getting wacky Timeless Tony Storm? It's like, you know what she says?
Are you not a fan
shit of
the gimmick?
You know what? I like it when she talks. Just the wrestling, just like, yeah, it's just there. Well, here's the thing: this match came in cold. Because I have a feeling people did not give a fuck about Deonna Purrazzo. She's good. She's a really good wrestler.
I thought this match showcased her very well.
Yeah, like as a match, it was good. But it was cold. And then I was just kind of chilling. And Luther's hilarious. But other than that, I kind of fell asleep. So I was kind of like, I was tired.
You know, I will say... it's hard to follow a John Moxley match, no matter who you are in this company.
Especially a match that like John Moxley won, and we're like, oh damn, they actually won a match? That's crazy. Especially how they were just choking out FTR. And where were they again? Greensboro.
Greensboro, where is that? North Carolina?
Yeah. Greensboro North. So I was like, oh yeah, you would think the throwback tag team would win. Nah. Blackpool Combat Club won. John Moxley won. It was also weird too, because it was actually a pretty like, you know, even crowd. Like people fucked with both teams. So
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this match with Timeless Tony Storm, you're not even a wart on my bum.
It was short and sweet. Well, I say short. It was 12 minutes, but this actually was the shortest match on the card.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gave it 3.5. Maybe it's more because I actually do think it with the right booking. I think Deonna Purrazzo, I don't know about a superstar, but I think she could be a decent star. And Tony Storm, I mean, people still love her. There were Tony chants throughout the match. And so, like, clearly people still love her and that gimmick. So she's pretty much, I don't know about money, and I don't know if she's a good enough wrestler to where, like, anyone who wrestles her is instantly elevated. But they're definitely not lesser, I think. So,
as I said, I give this match, if I was a rate at 2.5, I was in the middle, so...
Yeah, so, oh, and then, okay, so I need to ask right away, was this next match your match of the night? Because I remember I said that Kingston Daniel Bryan was my match, Bryan Danielson was my match.
I don't know.
Hard so the next say. Match, every.
So this match is weird. It's super fucking awesome, but at the same time, like, the match itself also felt like, you know what?
Oh, see, you felt it too, right? It felt like they were both just kind of, as good as they both are, it felt like they were kind of just, like, going through the motions a bit.
Well, not even go through the motions. It was, like, it was slow. Like, everything, obviously. So, what was this next match? I think we're jumping ahead on, we're going, like, opinions on this match.
Will William Ospreay, a.k.a. King Bro, versus...
Hey, bro. Dude, remember when I sent that picture of that fucking shirt they're selling that just says, bro? Signs of the AEW. AEW is not even fucking around with the damn merch. They already know. Whereas, like, every fifth word is bruv, so we might as well make a shirt with the word bruv. With Ospreay's face in the background.
Yeah, that shirt was great. I almost bought it, but... Oh, yeah, so William Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita. Man, oh man, talk about a match.
Bro, let's just talk about Ospreay's entrance. Holy fuck, dude was over. Holy shit. Homie was pointing the fingers to each end of the building saying his name. I'm like, holy shit. I think he might have did the right move signing AEW. I'm just saying. He might be already the top star.
That dude came off like a god.
Yes, it was insane. In Greensboro, North Carolina, of all places.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay came off like a fucking god, just walking out.
Now, listen, I don't think wrestling fans are well known to travel far for things they like, but I doubt that everyone there was some, like, you know, road warrior, like, weathered traveler who came from freaking Long Beach to go see it was a super marquee mark to see William Ospreay.
I was like, we've traveled some long distance to see some Ospreay. I'm just saying, we've traveled some way to see some Ospreay. Did we see Ospreay versus Liger?
Yes.
Damn. Dude, I didn't know.
That's right.
I'm like,
that's right. And you remember he then like offered to challenge Rey Mysterio, who was in the audience.
Or like Rey was there. Yeah. I'm just saying, yes, we've seen Will Ospreay versus Jushin Thunder Liger. I know, fucking insane to even say those words.
I know.
We've invested our time going to a couple wrestling shows. Shit,
dude, that was a long time ago. That's where you bought your LIJ hat.
Oh my god, that decrepit thing that I'm still wearing?
Yeah, the thing that was like the purest white, and now it's like black as night.
It's dirty as fuck. But from the sweat. So, Ospreay versus Takeshita.
Takeshita.
I'll say it. Yes, I won't argue with it. It's definitely a 5-star match, and there's some awesome stuff. But the weird thing.
Think so? I don't think it was 5 stars at all.
You know what? I wouldn't disagree with it. They had some awesome sequences. They were smart, and then like a lot of the times, it's kind of like, you know how they wrestled. It's almost, I don't want to say it, but there was like it had the pacing of like a Roman Reigns match. It's a little slow, but the moves like everything they did mattered a lot. Obviously, there wasn't insane sequences, but holy fuck, that Oz Cutter with then Takeshita catching him and hitting the Blue Thunder Bomb, insane. That Brain Buster that with Ospreay not fucking dying, insane. But it was like, it's not like, it wasn't like
a I want those moments photographed and like hanged in my house.
It wasn't sitting, there was like moments where they did something big and they were kind of chilling and then slowly got into the next scene. There wasn't felt like little, like, there wasn't like a constant, like, it's not like when Kenny Omega and Ospreay fought where there was a lot downtime.
Balls to the wall.
Yeah, it wasn't, this match was not balls to the fucking wall, but when they hit shit, it was insane. No one was fucking around. People were on their feet.
What helped too was how well the crowd was into it. Listen, These two on their worst day with the worst crowd could get a crowd into a match, okay? But it helped that everyone was so into it.
And then Takeshita hitting these insane suplexes. Man, like, here's the thing. This match ruled, but there was also part of it, too. It was a little slow. They did have, like, a weird they had a more methodical pace to this match.
Insane. I didn't mind the slow pace. My issue with the slow pace wasn't the fact that it was slow. It was the way it was slow. It felt like the kind of match where it was playing with expectations, right? Like, because it's like, oh, you're expecting these guys to do this, but instead they're going to do this. And it's kind of like, ooh, I didn't expect that. So, and I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying that it wasn't slow just to be slow. It was slow because it was playing with what you expect from these two, I think.
True. Obviously, you thought the match would be more balls to the wall, but they worked like a heavyweight main event style match, but
they had a professional wrestling match.
It still was really fucking good. And like, Ospreay's just a fucking machine. Takeshita's a fucking machine. And then obviously, like, just them like dropping each other in their head, insane. That fucking top rope brainbuster. Holy fuck, how'd he miss that? Like, I don't know. Like, Ospreay, he got fucked up bad on that. Obviously, he's fine. Like, thankfully, he's fine. But then, like, match ended, Ospreay didn't even hit his, like, the finishing move, the Stormbreaker. He hit him with a fucking Tiger Driver 91 and then a hidden blade, which obviously in reality, you're kind of fucking dead. Like, getting dropped on your head and then getting smacked on the back of your head.
The only person that could have kicked out of that was Kota Ibushi.
It was weird. All right. But even then, it was weird because then, like, Takeshita also kicked out, like, the three count hit. He was like a half a cent later. He kicked out. So it's not like,
I noticed that he kicked out at three. I thought Alvarez would have had a problem with that. But he kicked out at three.
You know what? As the match said, I have a feeling they might be building. It doesn't hurt with them building to another match down the road. Listen, balls to the fucking wall.
I'm telling you right now, if they want to make Takeshita, if they want to have over the course of months or years, like a Takeshita Ospreay series, I'm not going to fucking complain.
I'm just saying, like, they're building this somewhere. And it might go more balls to the wall. Now, I'm sorry. Like, I will say, if worst 4.5, I wouldn't be care if it's like a 5-star match. Was this an Ospreay 6-star match? No, but.
No. I gave it a 4.5 as well. Because here's my thing. Part of it felt like, so I don't think these guys were working lazy. They were working safe, but they were working safe like,
well, here's the thing. They didn't have to work more than they needed to.
Yeah. And I don't mind that they did that. Like, I expected a spot showcase. I wasn't disappointed that I did not.
I think that's my complaint. It was more like a weird, like, obviously there was some psychology to it and like them, but there wasn't like, obviously, like, there wasn't too much of like an overarching story. It was like a methodical like spot showcase, but like they also had like insane sequences and they hit their moves like on next level professionalism. It's insane.
You know what I think it is too? I think it's also the time. This match went, because I looked it up, this match went 22 minutes exactly. This was a 22 minute match that felt like, I'm going to be honest, it felt like it should have been a 27, 29 minute like G1 match.
Yeah.
Where I felt like they had so much more that they could have done, which here's the thing. In a match like this, if my complaint, quote unquote, is, oh, I wish they had more time.
I think the biggest complaint is just our expectations. They were subduing it. But I swear to God, I like think about it. It's like, dude, Takeshita has those great, awesome fucking German suplexes that are just looks like he's just killing and fucking folding Ospreay in half. And also those gnarly elbows. I swear, there was like I was like popping when like, it was just like the elbow where he jumped up and nailed Ospreay while he was just on the top rope and on the top like turnbuckle and shit.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just saying like, this match is great, but I feel like it just wasn't balls to the fucking wall.
And here's the thing, like, and that's what I was saying, like, there were times where it felt like that they were almost, like, going through the motions in the context of, like, this was just a match that they could have, like, wrestled in their sleep. Now, here's the thing, though.
Honestly, that's the best way to put it. This was a would be a match they could just wrestle in their sleep.
But here's the thing. I think it's impossible for either of these men to have a bad match. I think it's impossible for them to have a just okay match. And if they do have a just okay match, bro, an okay Takeshita match or an okay Osprey match is like leagues above, like, say, an okay Miz match.
I was going to say, but I love Takeshita when he hits his blue thunder bombs just out of nowhere.
His blue thunder bombs are smexy.
Oh, my God. I think we'll be on this match forever. We got two more to go. Yeah. And we're
we got two more to go.
We're an hour in. So tell me what's good. Wow. Tell me what's good with the World Heavyweight Championship match.
So I'm really curious on your take on this for a specific reason, but I'll get to that when I say the name. Samoa Joe versus Hangman Page versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship. So what I'm curious about is
what my opinion is on
what your opinion on the match in relation to Hangman Page, because I keep for the last like 2 months. I've been seeing a lot of inconsistent opinions about Hangman. Some people think he's still great. Some people think he's bad or weird or whatever. And I'm not just talking the usual suspects, like, I don't know, like What Culture Observer or Cornette. But just in general, there just seems to be a lot of conflicting opinions and feelings about the guy. And I don't know anything about that because I thought this match was good. I thought he was great. But yeah, I just wanted your opinion. Like,
so my opinion in the context friggin' of Hangman. On like biker stash, like heel Hangman. Well, I feel like I should. Here's the thing. We've had years of him being anxious, millennial, like kind of like subtle cowboy. Him being a crazed maniac because some dude broke into his house and cut a promo on his child and just trying to fucking ruin that man's life that broke into his house. I'm like, he's like in a weird spot, but I fuck with it. I still think he's a good wrestler, and I fucking love this match. I didn't like if I was to rate it, fuck, I'll give it like at lowest a 4.25, but I feel like I'd still give this like a 4.5 star match because one, everyone here was awesome, especially with Joe just coming in, go like, yeah, I'm the champion, right? I'm just gonna beat the shit out of you, dudes. And Joe, like in the early, just being big. Meaty, but also crisp with his kicks and everything. This was like, this match was awesome, especially in the end where fucking Hanger's hitting like the buck shots, but then fucking Swerve hits that fucking buck shot off the turnbuckle into him and shit. And then Swerve becoming the baby face, which obviously being an observer, Alvarez going like, can we have a fucking baby face? Can Swerve be a can we have this man just be a baby face already? And like I'm fine with like just like heel Hanger, just him just being spiteful and angry and having that shitty like biker stash. I'm about it.
It's his biker stash is so weird. I feel like I should hate it on principle, but on principle, I fucking love it.
I'm just saying, like this match I thought was awesome. Now I wish the story of how it ends and how the like commentators were talking about. It's like, oh, did Hangman quit did Hangman quit because he was beaten by Joe, or did he quit to spite Swerve so he doesn't win the title? I wish at least Hangman could be looking at Swerve's eyes and giving him a spiteful look and tapping on principle. Not like a way where it's just like, oh, I guess, Joe just won. Like, I thought Joe was going to win anyway. It's a fucking three-way match. So there's going to be the chaos of a three-way match.
It's really weird because it's like, why would you set it up like that? Do you want to run Hangman Swerve back again? I mean, that's a choice you can make, and that's what you can do.
Saying, like, those two don't have bad matches. I'm just saying.
No, they don't.
Like, they will fucking kick the shit out of each other. Like, dude, we saw that fucking, like, that Texas Death Match at Full Gear. Yeah. Like, that was, like, the best match of the evening. We go like, yeah, you know what, the pay-per-view, kind of mid, but holy fuck, that match was great. Especially with them their blood and someone's drinking their blood and shit. Dude, fuck. I'm just saying, like, these two will fucking murder themselves. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, but I don't have an issue with that. But the same, and listen, I was expecting Joe to win too. But, like, I guess my issue is just like, it's like, what was the point of it in the sense of like, was the idea of like, oh, do we set this up to make Hangman look like more of a heel? Do we have him lose to make sure that Swerve still looks strong? Because he was still clawing his way and shit. But like, I don't know. I wish the commentators didn't say that because it's like okay, Hangman's the heel. He tapped out. Fine. But instead, they're like, oh, did he do that to spite Swerve Strickland? I'm like, are you trying to play 4D? I'm like, okay, are you trying to play 4D chess with me right now? I don't know. All I know is, listen, Adam Page is very good. Swerve Strickland, much like how I feel about Nate Hobbs, should be a champion of this company, should be leading the charge, be the face of it. He's a superstar. And Samoa Joe, that dude has to be on a ballot somewhere for top 10 or 20 American wrestlers of all time. Because, God, he rules.
Oh, yeah, no, dude. Joe just rules. This match, I thought it rules.
This match was 19 minutes. Those 19 minutes flew by.
I'm just saying. Now, the story of this match, I'm sure, you know, not the best, but you know what? I didn't care. I had fun with this match. I loved it. Now, what's talking about...
I gave it a four. I feel like I expected a hair more from these guys.
You know, I give it a four too, but I was like, eh. I felt like they did it like them. I felt like they met my expectations. So
yeah,
I was.
But then we get to the main event.
What's good with this main event?
Actually, hold on. And now, listeners, it's time for the main event. Sting and the most Darbiest of Allens versus the Young Bucks for the AEW tag team belt, and it's Sting's last match, everybody. All right,
let me ask this opinion about you. Maybe Hangman I can understand if it's like a weird spot. But what does good host Ed, now Florida man, think of the EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the Young Bucks?
Okay, listen, I'm going to be completely honest with you. At first, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. They're just leaning into le drama that's been brought out by, you know, whatever. I'm like, eh, okay. And I'd seen their promos and, like, heard their new theme song and stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, it's fine. I don't know why, but for this match, it just clicked. I fucking really like EVP douchey Young Bucks.
And them just fucking dying.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude, they were bumping so hard for this old man and this emo boy.
I swear to God. Jesus Christ. Just like fucking Sting will just like casually throw him into the like barricade and you just see Nick just flipping straight into it.
Not since Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam.
It basically was at times like that, but not in a like a bad way where you know like Shawn's being spiteful.
The Young Bucks weren't ribbing Sting. You could tell they were like, okay. Yeah, but no, I dig them. I dig, especially because like this is gonna sound weird, but I feel like EVP Young Bucks are basically like they come off like if they were like Roman Reigns' like bratty brothers from a character perspective. You know? Like, oh, it's like he's like the CEO of the company and he's like, oh yeah, those are my shit heel sons. But yeah, I thought the match was cool. Ric Flair was there. Steamboat was there.
Oh, yeah, I know, sick. Dude. There. Then in the crowd, you also saw Nikita Koloff. Nikita Koloff.
I couldn't believe Magnum he was alive.
and Nikita Koloff. Yeah, he looks healthy. Fuck, who was like,
I know.
Oh, yeah, Scotty Riggs, which was like, I don't know. I was like, who's Scotty Riggs? And I was like, oh, American Males.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, why the fuck is he here? Like, I get it.
Maybe
get
he's it, just Sting's like, friend. Hey, what'd you think of the,
American males.
Hey, yo, what'd you think of Sting's, what do you think of Darby's Sting video? Of like, Sting in the theater?
Well, first off, I need to comment on something. Ricky the Dragon, I can't believe that A, that dude still looks good, but also B, he still has really nice hair.
Yeah. Like, dude, Ricky looks good. Like, Flair, he looks ancient.
He looks. I need to double check his age real quick because every time I look up his age, I'm always surprised. Okay, he's close to 80 now, but I remember I googled him like about 10-ish years ago, and I was like, oh yeah, Ric Flair. He looks like he's like mid-70s. This was like 2013, 2014 or something. I was like, yeah, Ric Flair's got to be like high 70s. And I remember googling him, and I'm like, what do you mean he's not even 70 yet?
You're like, dude, what the fuck? And dude, 70, he looks like he's 90.
Oh, dude, he hit 70 and every year he ages physically another 5.
dude, yeah, no, friggin' Flair would be insane. But
actually, so I'm curious about you, because this is something that for some people would be a hot button topic. What's your opinion on Sting's last match being the Young Bucks?
Well, when I heard, well, here's the thing. If Sting,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm sorry.
I'm about to say, I just know that Sting, when they said it was like them, and then the words was, Sting had a lot of fun at that Forbidden Door match when he faced the Young Bucks and El Fantasmo. I'm like, yeah, that match ruled. And like, I have no problem with the Young Bucks playing into the Sting character. It works on how, like, just like how campy the Bucks can get into it. And man, they delivered. I was like, you know what? I have no problem with that. If Sting fucks with the Bucks, why not? And you know what? They delivered this match. You know what? I'm going to say it. This is my favorite match on the show. I just fucking loved it. All right. You know what? It just is. Maybe I'm just old and I don't give a fuck about wrestling much anymore. So I'm debated on what matches I like and stuff. But man, I fucked with this match. Well, one, it is Sting's last match. And obviously, I just love Sting came out with his fucking sons and them just hitting like the fucking Stinger splashes all awkward like, and then just them throw like building shit or so. But man, I just love the Bucks bumping around and just some of their fucking dialogue with the match too. And fucking Darby dying. Holy fucking shit.
Oh my God. I thought Darby was going to die a few times.
Like, it was bad. Like, dude, Darby was like wrecked. And dude, when it like they'd close up,
it was like, did they work that out in the pre-match, like when they're working out the match, you're just like, okay, listen, we can't and aren't gonna do shit to Sting, so Darby, you're gonna have to take enough bumps for like 2.5 people
in one major bump where like Darby climbed onto that fucking ladder and jumped off into a plate of glass and fucking chairs, and his back just went red, just protruding blood. I'm like, oh my God. And then most of the match where it was like Darby's still dead over there, but Sting is fighting off the Young Bucks. It is like this almost like, fuck it, this match rules and stuff too. And I just loved some of the Young Bucks dialogue with them looking at Sting goes like, we hate you. Wait, what was it? Oh, no. What was it? Oh, it was like, we're not sorry. We hate you. You know, calling back to when Shawn Michaels was, I'm sorry. I love you. And like, Flair. Yeah,
that's right. Right before the sweet chin music. Yeah.
Yeah. They hit the double super kick. Just go like, we hate you. Wait, it was like, oh, fuck. I keep fucking it up.
No, it's like, we're not sorry. We hate you.
And I'm just like, oh my God, yeah, so gold. Them shaking his hand. It's like, you know what? A good business with you, Stinger. Good business. Now you can go off. And Stinger still kicks out. And then Sting actually winning, which is like, holy shit. And I didn't even spoil myself. I was like, I don't know who wins. And then when Sting actually went, when Darby finally came back with the largest fucking scab on his back, hitting like that gnarly coffin drop.
He had a crimson mask. But it was on his back.
He basically had a crimson cape.
But yeah, that's a good one.
I fucking love this match. It was like, yeah, you know what? It's a stunt show. But I love the drama. I love the dialogue. I was so entertained. And just how it ended, it was like, it was awesome. And it just made me think, like, you know what? We all had Sting in our life at some point while dicking with wrestling. We had to. We all had Stinger moments. Bro, our first Mania, Sting was wrestling.
Yes, against Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter.
Hunter did in fact make a comeback that night.
Bro, dude, when I was watching fucking shitty 2010s TNA, I did not mind Joker Sting. I was totally fine with it.
You know, Joker Sting was something so many people hated at the time. I thought it was great. I loved watching Steve Borden act like a crazy old man.
I was like, you know what? I don't mind Joker Sting. We've all had Sting moments in our life. We were always curious about Sting. And you know
Sting
what?
Sting was a guy that like I didn't really get into till later, because I mean, I saw him in TNA, but it wasn't until I went back and like started watching his back catalog, and then I got really interested in the Monday Night War stuff, and then WCW before that. And I was just like, dude, Surfer Sting is like one of my favorite wrestlers. Sting is good. Crow Sting's great. Red Crow Sting is cool and all, but like just like when Sting was single-handedly carrying WCW on his back, like during the years where he feuded with Flair and Vader and shit, I was just that was when I was like, dude, Sting is fucking great.
You know what? Sting is awesome. This retirement match is awesome. All of the Sting and AEW has just been awesome. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he just kind of chills there. All he does is really just kind of stings up, goes woo, hits Stinger splashes, and just like fucking just backdrop people, and they just bump like all crazy. You know what? Is Sting like the best wrestler? Nah. But is Sting an awesome wrestler? Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. And I've always...
I think Sting was one of the best wrestlers ever until... I don't know. I think he got hurt or blown out through drugs at some point during TNA. But, you know, from
it's
like
fucking
the
TNA. TNA sucked. But even then, Sting was entertaining.
Yeah, but I do think Sting deserves to be on some route Mount Rushmore somewhere. I think he's one of the greats all time.
And I'm just saying, this retirement match was awesome. My only complaint is now, obviously, the spectacle of like the Muto retirement was not the same as like the this match. This match didn't. Well, we didn't know how they were gonna just do the retirement. It just ended up them just doing like a fucking insane like stunt show match. Darby fucking dying. Sting just basically carrying the match with Bucks just flipping the fuck around, like bumping the fuck around.
Which if you think about it, someone out there had to love this match, because think about it. It was one old wrestler from back in them olden days, single-handedly.
Oh my God, when
the
Bucks were fucking beating the shit, like when they fucking beat up Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair, we had just like decrepit Ric Flair. We're just like, stop, it's done. You've done enough. You don't have to do this. Stop. And then I can't remember if they fucking nailed like Flair with a chair or not, but it was just like, dude, I just love EVB Pucks, like Bucks just beating the shit out of all these old people, just getting so much heat. But then like Stinger just coming in with this insane superhero comeback. Dude, I just love this match. Yeah.
I thought this is where EVP Bucks clicked for me, and I think for good reason, because I'm not going to lie, because I haven't watched every week of television. I try to catch some highlights at least, but like this to me felt like the match where, in general, EVP Bucks stick. This didn't just feel like, oh, the Bucks are doing what they always do, and they're just reacting to, I don't know, news and stuff, and they're, you know, doing something to get at the marks. This felt like, okay, they're actually like really coming into their own character.
Exactly.
That's what this felt like. Because
they're not sorry. They hate you. I just love that. They just call back to that Shawn Michaels. I'm just like, oh. Because that's a great moment too, where just Shawn, you just see this like Flair about to be just put out the pasture, and you just see him just like, I'm sorry. I love you. And then super kick his fucking head off to the like bleed to the fucking like nosebleeds.
Yeah, man, I remember me and my dad watched that moment live, and when that happened, we laughed our asses off. So, because
well, I laughed my asses off when they're just like, "We're not sorry, we hate you," and I'm just like, God, yes. Oh, I will live. I've been saying that part, dude. That part's like, that part already made it just my favorite match.
This is when I wish more of the friend group watched wrestling, because God damn, I would love to say that to, like, could you imagine if you just busted that out on like, I don't know, Ponch or Jackson or something?
I'm like, I'm not sorry. I hate you. Oh my God. Now one complaint is that I wish we had a pretty awesome like retirement speech, but then it was just like, oh, we're just going off the air. Pay-per-view's over. Bye. And I'm just like, yeah, this is definitely not on the, like the terms of like the Keiji Muto for retirement show, where it was like, one, the camera work on the show was fucking insane. On like the production and the camera work and the like cinematics of just how they like shot that show for the Keiji Muto like retirement show, insane. Also, we don't have Keiji Muto just going like, yo, Chono, I'm calling you out to a match right now. And they do like a quick like friggin' like 2 minute match. Nothing like that. It was just like Sting won an insane match and then was just like, oh, I guess I'm off the air. And it wasn't even a retirement speech, like, you know, the next Dynamite. But I was like, you know what? That was awesome. No, I have no complaints for me. That was honestly my personal favorite match. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was actually gonna ask you, what was your thoughts when when Sting got cut off like mid-retirement speech.
I'm just like, well, I'm like, okay.
Well, that's AEW.
Oh yeah, no.
Because
it ain't formatted in a way. Just like it was, as I said.
Like, here's the thing, that was the first thing I heard about the show, not from any like news or the Observer.
You just heard it's like, yo, what the fuck? They cut off Sting's like speech, like, and the show just ends with just like, oh, yeah, he's just like, yeah, oh, I'm getting cues, and then the logo goes on and just goes to black.
Yeah, but the thing was, I heard it from my mom. she was like, did you hear about AEW? And I'm like, no, what? She says, they cut off Sting during his retirement speech. She likes Sting. And I was like, oh,
wait, saying, everyone fucks with Sting.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, mom liked Sting ever since he showed up again in WWE, just like right away. And then, you know, I showed her some, I told her about his history, showed him some of his old matches, showed him being a wacky goober.
All right, has your mom watched a retirement match?
No.
Do you think your mom can handle Darby's back?
Oh, dude.
That thing was brutal.
My mom's the kind of person, though, because since she had that triple fusion neck surgery, she's the kind of person, she'll watch him fall on his back and bleed and go, oh, God, my neck hurts watching that. And I'm like, it was his back.
Oh, my God. And just think, now Darby has to wrestle like Jay White next week, and then he's off to finally climb Mount Everest. He literally went on Dynamite. Goes like, honestly, I can't guarantee if I'm going to come back alive or not. So next week could be possibly my last match, and I'm just like,
Is he actually going to climb literal Mount Everest?
Yes. This has been a thing. He has been training. He said he's going to climb Mount Everest, and literally he's going to wrestle Jay White, and he's going to go take a flight to the Himalayas or wherever the fuck Mount Everest is, and go climb it. I looked it up too. Supposedly it takes like 9 to 12 days to climb it, to get up, just get up a direction. So then you got to think of the return too.
So you're telling me that Darby Allin got so used to / tired of, almost dying in the ring. He's like, you know what? It's time for me to die / almost die in real life.
Now, obviously, a lot of people climb Mount Everest and successful, like, you know, yearly. But, you know, also a lot of people, like a good handful of people die, too, climbing Mount Everest yearly.
So. Yeah, no, like legitimately end up deceased. Yes.
Yes. Deceased or disa-fuck-appear. Which I think Alvarez put it best. If I have a contract with this man, I would not be allowing him to go do this shit. How is he getting away with it? I'm just like, you know what? Maybe he's just Darby Allin. He just has a contract with TK Slider, where TK Slider is like, fuck it. You're sick, and I fuck with you. So go fucking climb Mount Everest. If you come back alive, you're just going to be more of a legend.
TK Slider letting Darby Allin slide up the slippery slope of Everest death. Maybe Darby Allin can climb Mount Everest and meet the Malaysian Yeti.
Possibly. So I would say overall, so coming back to the show, I think this show rule, if you want to watch it, go for it. This is one of the, like, definitely AEW's like best pay-per-views. Sting's retirement match.
I would say it's one of their best ones ever.
Yeah, true. I say it's one of their best ones ever. So definitely coming off from like the last two pay-per-views, this was like this was killer. Obviously, it helps that, you know, Sting's retirement, fucking the Super Ospreay match, fuck, even the fight with just like Eddie Kingston and just like Bryan Danielson. So.
Oh, dude. I know, dude. Oh, yeah. What did you rate that last match? Is it a 5? Yeah,
I can't rate it, dude. That's like 300 stars. Just how awesome it was.
So it's up there with...
let's be real. It's like when Stone Cold and Kevin Owens wrestled. Was that like the best match? No. But was that match just fucking awesome? Yes.
Yeah, I was just about to compare those two. So it's not as good as that one then, because that match you said was like 500 stars, and this one's only 300.
Oh no, damn, 500 to 300. What will you do? Well, I don't know. It's true. Austin did take a fucking suplex on concrete, but Darby did just fucking, you know, did that insane thing. And we had and we had generational Stings, and form of like Sting's like sons.
Did you see that thing that Jake shared where it was like, where it was showed The Rock talking and it's like, no one can beat me. Then it's like,
dang. I'm just saying, who knows if there's just another Rock. Dude, I'm actually curious with WrestleMania on how the fuck The Rock's going to wrestle.
See, that's the thing because like,
oh my fucking God, Mania is right around the corner, right?
Yeah, next month.
You want to know what's going to be funny? Watch, this is going to be our next fucking episode. It's going to be Mania.
Shit. That one's going to be a lot harder, too, because that's 2 days.
Well, I just won't think we'll have to do a long catch-up cold open. We'll just hop straight into it to the best of our abilities. Do you got any other comments for this show?
No, it was really good. And honestly, this podcast episode turned out longer and I think better than I thought it was. I thought it was
We can bullshit. I have a feeling we can bullshit.
Yeah, but I feel like we're really good at bullshitting about wrestling specifically. I think so.
Yeah. Well,
we're not a wrestling podcast, but we're wrestling podcast coded.
Yeah, true. I've watched a decent amount of wrestling. I've been kind of
watching okay.
I'm gonna be honest. I've been chilling it. I've been chilling wrestling of late. I haven't been like too. Well, obviously, I keep up with
it. You watch quite a lot of wrestling, even though I was surprised that was the first time you'd seen Hulk Hogan and Rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I went and watched Hulk Hogan and Rock. That match was weird where it was like, couldn't they just make the option call and just have Rock just work heel and then like have not Hogan be hitting eye pokes and fucking low blows? I was like, that's so wacky because I've just heard just people just cheering the shit out of Hogan. Hogan still worked like a heel. It was so weird. But that match, I was just like, how it was wrestled, I was like, you know what? It's fucking something different in this match. Kind of fucking awesome.
Never put what in the microwave? I wasn't going to cook it. I was just putting it in there to keep it warm.
Okay.
Sorry, one of my roommates was talking to me. I got one of those Pizza Hut cookies and, you know, it comes in like a little metal tray in a box. And he was like, you're never supposed to put metal in the microwave. And it's like, I wasn't going to warm it up. I was just putting it to keep it warm. No, it's fine, Garrett. But yeah, no, it's...
Damn, we learned the motherfucker's actual name. Get fucked.
I mean, Jared.
Word. All right. You know, I think it's time to wrap this up. This was a Triple D radio show with your hosts, James and Edward.
James and Edward. I mean, it's not like James and Edward are real names, right?
Dude, fuck. He's just like having a conversation with the roomie going like, huh? Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to actually fucking light up the microwave. I just want to keep my friggin' Pizza Hut cookie warm.
It's a nice size cookie.
Like, damn. Is it like a crumble size cookie?
Well, no, it's nothing like that. But they put it... It's like $10. Actually, it's almost the same price. It's like $10. They set it in like a... It's essentially the size of like... a personal pizza, but it's a chocolate chip Hershey's cookie.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, dude.
I used to have those at our college, and you could use your meal exchange for them.
I see.
The chocolate chip cookie pizzas, because we had a Papa John's in one of our buildings.
That's cool.
You know, certain individual pizzas, but it was still really good.
Awesome. Well, Triple D signing off.